Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, hello there and welcome. It's Wednesday evening here on Fightful.com, FightfulWrestling.com, YouTube.com/Fightful. Usually it's the Wednesday night wars, but there's more like a truce tonight. It's like back in World War II when they'd stop fighting on Christmas, right? Well, it's not exactly that. I'm trying to go somewhere with this analogy. It's not working out. I'm Mr. Warren Hayes, and I'm looking you here tonight to talk about NXT. And we've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of stuff that happened over the past couple of days. There's a lot of stuff that happened here tonight. We're going to get to that. But I want to thank everyone for joining us here live tonight on the podcast. We really appreciate it. And if you're watching it on your own time as well, whether on YouTube or on your favorite podcast application as well, because all these podcasts are available in audio format as well. Well, thank you very much. And do remember to head on over to Fightful.com, FightfulWrestling.com for all of your scoops, your news, everything you like about pro wrestling. But then on top of that, you can head on over to FightfulSelect.com, and then you get a whole bunch of extra content there as well. You have Sean Rossap, perhaps you've heard of him. He does a weekly backstage report. He has Q&A sessions. He does extra content for Listen Your Boy with Jimmy Van. You have Steven Jensen, who talks about all things non-WWE related. And then, of course, on top of that I'm just skimming the surface. Then, you know, underneath that surface, so not unlike a Kraken, lies Alex Pawlowski, who does Sour Graps reviewing Raw and SmackDown every week. And you had your hands full with Raw this week, Alex. Jeez.
I did. I may have a problem. Like, the people who know these things pay me wonderful compliments about how I'm able to make a solo podcast enjoyable. But I think I have a problem with brevity, because I went an hour and 40 minutes last night talking about Raw, but there was a lot to discuss with myself. we focused a lot on the quote-unquote burial of one Keith Lee. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to discuss, and some of the stuff that I talked about last night bleeds very nicely into the beginning of tonight's episode of NXT as well.
Well, there you go. And the burial of Keith Lee is indeed quite a subject. We might touch on this a little bit as we go along. I kind of feel like everything ties in here. But hey, in the meantime, you know, if you can catch Alex's interminable reviews over on Fightful Select, as I said. Subscribe, join us. It's a good way to show support for everything we do here at Fightful, just like leaving a super chat. If you're watching this live right now, leave a super chat for us right here, and we'll read your comment or question live on the air, such as Sengir Vampire, who left us a super chat. Thank you very much, and wishing us a wishing us good luck with the show tonight. Thank you very much. Roger Acevedo as well left us a super chat. Says, welcome back, Warren. Thank you very much. Excited for NXT next week. Yeah, there's a lot to be excited about. We'll get to that. And don't worry, folks, if I don't read your super chat right now, if it ties into something that Alex and I are going to talk about during the course of the show, I'll read it there. Don't worry. I won't forget anyone. Just like I didn't forget that Stu Bennett was actually called Wade Barrett, Alex. Yes. He came back live. They announced it yesterday that he was doing commentary today. And he's still Wade Barrett in the WWE universe, Alex.
Yes. If he ever comes back home, as it were, he will always be Wade Barrett. I really wanted him to start out with, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. and that bad news is I'm here every week. No, I think he did a great job. It's good to hear his voice again. I always loved that particular brogue of his in that tenor of his voice. It sounded very, very, you know, just like a guy who would probably, you know, take his elbow pad off and elbow you in the temple. Like one of those guys. He doesn't need bare knuckle boxing. He has bare elbow boxing.
Dropping.
It was good to have him there. I think they're trying out some new stuff. Vic being there, Mauro being elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But I like that they're still keeping Beth there. If not, she's there in spirit. She's not there in person. And by the way, I don't blame her. But it's nice to have her voice there as well. I think that is a three-person booth that I could get used to.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I think Stu Bennett, I don't know what to call him anymore. I've been calling him Stu Bennett for such a while now. But when he moved in to replace Jim Cornette over on NWA Power, I thought he did a good job. But there was something about his, as you mentioned, his brogue that didn't quite jive with Southern style wrestling, you know. I think he fits here. I think it works well. You know, we also were kind of used to Nigel McGuinness for a certain while. Let's not forget. So.
Yeah, no. My preference is to have the original team back. Mm-hmm. Like Mauro and Nigel work really, really well together. Nigel is the kind of quote unquote heel commentator that doesn't hit you over the head with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the main roster, they have Byron, who just takes like an anvil and drops it on your head with his pro babyface commentary every time he opens his mouth. I prefer people to be more subtle. Like Samoa Joe is wonderfully subtle with his 65-35 pro heel stuff. I like that a little bit better, a little bit more nuanced. And I think that Wade can add that to the booth.
Well, that after all these presentations, we got into Karrion Kross coming to the ring, doing his usual presentation, but his arm is in a sling. We saw this coming, but we were waiting for this confirmation. It's not good news. He cuts a promo saying that he told us that he would become NXT champion. He says that obstacles are the path that he takes. And he unfortunately has to relinquish the title because he separated his shoulder last Sunday at TakeOver 30. And he basically leaves the belt in the middle of the ring along with an hourglass, signifying that, you know, it's on borrowed time, I guess. So there you go. I mean, they banked so much on Karrion Kross from the moment that he came into NXT. Clearly, they were pushing this guy to be a superstar. That's what they wanted from him, and that's what they were making him to be. If you had any doubts, just the squash that he had over Tommaso Ciampa, of all people, should have established very clearly what the plans were. There's reasons why he was pushed so quickly. It sucks that he's injured. I don't like any wrestler getting an injury like this. I want wrestlers to have long, healthy careers. So this sucks. But I think, Alex, I think you may see a blessing in disguise with this injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this is the best thing that could happen to Karrion Kross, to the NXT title and to NXT, from my point of view. I think they pushed him way too hard, way too fast. I think they were so enamored with this guy and his aura that they didn't do anything with him to get him to the point where they were going to strap him up and let it ride. Let's go. And it felt like they didn't know what they were going to do with him once they had him champion. Now they don't have to make that decision. And now, as he's working his way back, you can find dudes laid out in the back with like a little hourglass by them. And then 3 weeks later, that happens again. You can slow burn his return, and you can have him. You can have people like wind up like, this guy's supposed to be in this match, but his music is playing and he doesn't show up, and he's not at the facility. And they go to like his hotel room, and there he is, like tied up in a chair or whatever. Like there's crazy. Like he should be playing mind games on his way back, so you can slow burn his return to championship glory and really do the stuff they should have done with him in the first place, as opposed to hot-shotting him right into the title picture. I do think it also is super ironic that they said, Keith Lee, you spent 2 years here. We're building you up. You're finally North American champ. Now you're also NXT champ, double champ. Whoops, wait a minute, you're going to be giving up one of those. And then your first real defense, because I don't count that one versus Dijak, your first real defense of the NXT title, you're going to lose. In the worst match I've ever seen Keith Lee wrestle.
Right.
And that's a hell of a pill to swallow. And then we're like, it's okay, though. We're calling you up to Raw. And the NXT title's in good hands with Karrion Kross. Wait, not so fast. Now they have a whole new thing to do, which is interesting, and we'll talk more about that. But that was not their plan.
No.
The way they decided, we are going to take this all of this away from Keith Lee, so we can go up to Raw and give the North American title to Priest and the NXT title to Kross. And they did all of that, making Keith Lee look as bad as possible in the process, which is, like, in hindsight, like giving up the North American title willingly, if you were going to have the worst match I've ever seen you wrestle versus Kross and lose the NXT title that way, he didn't look good in that way. Kross, it undeniably is a very intriguing talent. And I'm interested to see what they do with him when they slow burn him, as opposed to just putting a rocket on his back and just letting the sorcery do all the work. the fireball coming out of the contract was unforgivable to me. It made everybody look like dope.
I'm so sorry I wasn't here for that one.
God.
When I saw that, I was like, oh boy. Oh.
With Keith Lee selling the fireball like he was being attacked by a swarm of bees. It didn't make anybody look good. Magical powers, as a rule, are always a bad idea. But I'm very intrigued to see where they go from here with Karrion Kross. Is there speculation that the next time we see him in action, it might be on Raw or SmackDown? If so, fine. It's a main roster gimmick. It doesn't work in the small confines of NXT. It would work in the big arena. It would work in the Thunderdome better than in Full Sail, but it would work in front of an actual crowd a lot better than any of that other stuff.
You and I didn't have a chance really to talk about Keith Lee or Takeover and all this. Here's the thing that fascinates me, because we've heard it. We've heard talk about it before. And we even talked about it not that long ago in the case of Matt Riddle, where he was suddenly plucked from NXT and brought up to Maine. And, you know, you sort of heard Triple H saying, you know, well, you know, we have to pivot when these kind of things happen because, you know, we have plans, but then guys suddenly get called up and then we sort of have to. So you kind of get the impression that this was the same thing with Keith Lee as well. And at some point, Vince goes, well, I want the big guy, you know, and then it's, well, okay, we got to bring him up. maybe they did have something a little more elaborate in mind. Because otherwise, why would you have them win both straps and then have them lose them within a month and a half? But on top of that, Alex, and this is what fascinates me, there was maybe a time where NXT could be pillaged, right? Yeah. Because it was on the network and it's all WWE's time. But now NXT is on cable TV opposing another regular weekly program, wrestling program. It seems to me that there, at some point, you sort of have to lose this vision that NXT is developmental. Yes. we're developing talent here to bring them elsewhere. You're competing on television for ratings against another wrestling program. You are in a contract for airtime to make money for the network as well as yourself. And if you establish talent for people to tune in and watch, and then you just whisk them away, I don't understand it.
I totally agree. The thing they have to stop doing is, and they haven't done this in a while, but I am one thing in NXT, and I get called up, and I'm the opposite on main roster. It's not this niche thing anymore. Mm-hmm. It's on the same friggin' network as Raw.
Sure.
It's on the same time slot. It's opposite another thing you're trying to beat in the ratings. But when you bring somebody up and be like, all that stuff that you saw on Wednesday night doesn't matter. It's a different person now on Monday. What you're saying is that basically NXT is the equivalent of like non-canon Star Wars novels that came out in 1984.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. You read them. Oh, I really like that thing. But then you actually read another one that is canon and that character doesn't exist, or he's a bad guy now, or whatever. Hey, like, no, that can't be it.
You know, in the old Star Wars expanded universe, you know who was the first trilogy character to die?
Who's that?
Chewbacca.
Of course.
And that was never acknowledged anywhere else.
Yeah.
Justin,
it's Chewbacca dying is like Angel Garza getting engaged.
True, very true. Justin Lopez left us a super chat. Thank you, Justin. Says, mention this to Alex on Twitter. This might be a blessing in disguise for Cross, kind of like what we talked about. When healthy, he could return to the main roster without having been pinned in NXT. He's Vince's dream of a superstar. I mean, he does have the size, the look, that unbridled charisma that does work on main. The line drive. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I absolutely agree. It is Vince's dream. Like he would absolutely bring him up and not realize that he's already got that whole thing basically covered with the Fiend. Like he'd bring up Karrion Kross. Oh no, they're totally different. I mean, yes. I mean, one guy doesn't wear a mask and another one does, but they're both like weirdo demon things, you know, kind of ish.
The Line Drive left us a super chat as well. He says, in regards to Cross's relinquishing of the title, I like this idea that the NXT championship is this cursed treasure waiting for Cross to reclaim it. Sure, you know, it could be something interesting. It's already been, you could argue that it's already been cursed with Ciampa and whatnot.
Exactly.
But it will never be as cursed as the Universal title, though. Evan, no. Evan Wright left us a couple of super chats. Says, ratings pop, Warren. That's why. I guess it was in relation to something we were talking about. Sorry, I didn't see it on time. But left us another super chat, though. Says, NXT stopped being developmental when they tampered with Adam Cole's already existing ROH deal. That's the moment, in my opinion. Next, we had, I concur. Once they started getting, started to create, turn NXT into the super indies show, basically.
Yeah.
I would agree. Breezango defeated the NXT Tag Team Champions Imperium to become the NXT Tag Team Champions. Breezango gets some good offense early on the heels. There's some great back and forth between Breeze and Bartel early on in this match. Breezango hit their leg drop backbreaker combo on Aichner. Fandango hits a Topikon Hilo to the outside, but Bartel European uppercuts him, and Aichner German suplexes him right on the ground. Back in the ring, Aichner hits a driver followed by a moonsault. Breeze takes out both guys, only to lead into Fandango hitting the double leg drop on both Aichner and Bartel. Pin, win. I mean, there's a lot we... I'm going to challenge you here, Alex Pawlowski. I'm about to challenge you here. Yes, we can complain that Breezango were put into this match just because they... Despite the fact that they lost... They lost a match a couple of weeks ago, yet they got into the triple threat before TakeOver at the pre-show and we all of that. But I think here, the big story that we need to focus on, and this is the challenge I put unto you, is the fact that Breeze and Fandango have finally won their first titles in WWE, and that to me is worth it's the real story here.
Yeah, it's long overdue. When Breezango formed again in NXT, I've been waiting for this moment ever since. I love these guys individually and especially as a team. One of the most entertaining matches I've ever seen in my life is Breezango versus the Usos at Backlash a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
where Breeze broke out all the costumes. It was so much fun, and they made you believe at least twice,
yep,
with near falls that Breezango was going to win that thing. One of them, I literally stood up off my couch because I was ready to celebrate. I love these guys. Let it not be lost on the rest of the world. In America, all cops are bastards, except for the fashion police. And they're champions now. We should all celebrate. It's fantastic. I'm so excited for them to be transitional champs. to whom, I don't know. But they're definitely transitional champs. Ivar, I believe it was, got on the Twitter and said, Hey, Fandango, you can bring Breeze too. We're going to come down and get our titles back. And I was like, oh, please do that. Please bring the Viking Raiders back to NXT. Have them bring Ricochet with them. And Ricochet can, Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali can stow away in Ricochet's luggage. And they can all come to NXT where they all belong because Raw is killing all of them.
Next, we had Damian Priest, who was walking backstage with we wouldn't want to say a little bit of the bubbly because that'd be some very unfortunate crossover there. He says that he's still that the after party from winning the North American title at TakeOver 30 this weekend is still rolling, but Timothy Thatcher calls him embarrassing and says he should be the first guy to get a shot against Damian Priest, despite the fact that he lost a match on Sunday. But then a little later on, we have Bronson Reed saying that, hey, you know what? He actually beat Priest and he should get the next title shot. But then who comes in to interrupt him? None other than Austin Theory, who's returned from the gulag and basically says that Reed might get a shot if he keeps working. He keeps working hard at it, maybe when he's 55, and Bronson Reed slaps the taste out of Austin Theory's mouth. A lot of moving parts here, Alex. Make sense of all of this.
The last time we saw Austin Theory NXT, he lost a singles match to Tyler Breeze.
That's true.
And then, again, it's one of those deals. The last time we saw Austin Theory in NXT, he mouthed off to Tyler Breeze about Tyler Breeze being old and had to come back. His whole deal was, Tyler Breeze, what a joke you are, because you went to the main roster and they sent you back to NXT. That was Austin Theory's whole thing about getting in the face of Tyler Breeze. And oh, how the mighty have fallen, Mr. Theory. But he lost that match, and the implication was it was the beginning of maybe a program between the two, or a storyline overarching with Theory where he's a little too big for his britches and has to earn it by going up against the NXT old heads. But then they called him up to the main roster to team with Angel Garza and Andrade for some reason, because that group needed a dumb gringo, I guess. And they never mentioned why he got the call up off of a loss to Tyler Breeze. Disgraced joke Tyler Breeze. He got the call up after that. Mm-hmm. That's one of those deals where what happens in NXT doesn't matter. It on Raw is a different thing. Then they kicked him out of that group. They put him into Seth Rollins' group. And then things happened. And he wasn't ever in Seth Rollins' group anymore. They never mentioned it. There was never like a thing where they wrote him off TV or like he got beat up by Rey Mysterio or something. That they didn't even mention it. None of it. They haven't mentioned him. And he shows up at NXT like he stepped out of a time machine. Like he doesn't understand, but no. This reality has been going on without you, Austin. Like, you have to say what happened. Like, I was in WrestleMania. Yeah, and then what happened, dude? what's been going on since then? It's fine. The whole thing, like somebody was saying, like there's a lot of they do a lot of things now with slapping guys. Like that, a guy slaps a guy, and it's like, what's the deal with why people slap? And I honestly believe it's this. It's the ultimate disrespect. Because an open hand slap is what you do to a woman.
Oh.
That's why it's supposed to look like, oh my God, that's just taking it a little too far. You've disrespected that other fellow man by slapping him instead of punching him. The way they set it up all the time is being that, I have to believe that's what they think in their minds. Do I want to see Bronson Reed jump off the top rope or maybe off a really tall ladder or a skyscraper and land on Austin Theory? Yeah, that'd be fun. We should do that like a few times. Make it a best of seven where the finish is always Bronson Reed jumping off of something like increasingly high until in the seventh match he jumps off of a skyscraper, like the Empire State Building, and lands on Austin Theory and just squishes him. That'd be good.
Just give me a moment here. I'm writing down this bit of wisdom here that you said. Open hand slaps are what you do to women. Okay.
This is not me saying
no,
that.
No. It's fine.
This is them saying that.
Jake Atlas ate dirt tonight, Alex. He ate it when Tommaso Ciampa decided to come back.
He drew the short straw.
Hell yeah. He ate a headbutt. Listen. We know how they work headbutts in wrestling. We get it. There's all sorts of way to work a headbutt. But did you see the welt on the side of Tommaso Ciampa's head after that headbutt? See it?
He went stiff in there. Yep.
By God, he stomps Atlas in the corner a la Stone Cold. He hits the Willow's Bell, a really snug one at that.
Snug.
Pins Atlas after the match, continues to beat him up, slingshots him under the ring so that Atlas's throat lands on the girder, like the support of the ring. They have Atlas do the stretcher job. Ciampa interrupts that too. DDTs him off the stretcher. I'm just throwing this out here, Alex. I don't think Tommaso Ciampa is going to be talking about his baby daughter much moving forward. Nope. I think the other daddy's home now. Not daddy, one.
Yeah. I love this. He came down wearing a leather jacket with a leather hoodie jacket and a face mask that like simultaneously gave me nightmares for the rest of my life and also made me oddly aroused. I love heel Ciampa. I'm so excited that he's back and being evil. I missed him so much. Just poor Jake Atlas. Like, again, I think they literally drew a short straw. Here's three guys standing around backstage. One of you is getting murdered by Tommaso Ciampa. Draw straws for it. And Jake's like, aw, nuts.
Mansoor, Jake Atlas, and maybe Whack 'Em Wild. Maybe. But no, he's involved in something. No. But yeah.
Yeah. It was so good. And it's also, it's, I love that recently, a few months ago or a few weeks ago, they were going back and forth, on the Twitter, Tommaso Ciampa and Randy Orton, and Tommaso Ciampa is totally stealing Randy's bit, and Randy, he's doing it a lot better than you too. I thought this was great. I'm so here for like evil Ciampa back. Somebody asked me who's before they announced what they were doing with this stipulation match next week. Somebody asked me on Twitter, well, if Cross isn't champion anymore, who's the next champion? I said it's Finn Balor or it's Tommaso Ciampa. Like those are the two things I thought they could do. I didn't think about the other things later, but like Tommaso Ciampa, like being the guy who beat him so quickly at TakeOver In Your House is gone. He doesn't have to worry about that. He's just pissed that he's still not champion, a title he never lost. And he's instead of like coming back and righteously demanding access to that title, he's like, I'm going to murder every son of a bitch in this building until I get that title. That's also a strategy, and I wholeheartedly agree with it.
Oh, I endorse it as well. Crosskick left us a super chat. Thank you very much. Says Cody Atlas did well tonight. He did as good as he could. Thank you for the super chat. Candice LeRae, they have a little segment for Candice LeRae, a little vignette where she says basically that she and Tegan Knox used to be friends. They're not friends anymore. She says the highlight of the friendship was Tegan Knox taking her to a castle at one time.
Yeah.
And she feels that Tegan never had her back in NXT, and if she doesn't do things the Gargano way, she can stay out of her way. That, we have Dizzy C here left us a super chat, though. Thank you. Just, we'll jump right into that. He says, I disagree. Action-wise, sure, but Randy talks circles around Ciampa, even at Ciampa's best, referencing when you said that that Ciampa was doing Randy Orton's bit better. Do you care to counter, Mr. Polanski?
You can quibble it with who's better on the mic. Ciampa obviously hasn't done it at this level for as long as Randy has. Mm-hmm. I personally prefer Ciampa's style more. Mm-hmm. But circles around that's you're just fooling yourself. Sorry, you're just fooling yourself if you think that. Like they're close. But one is not immeasurably better than the other on the mic. That's not true.
I think it's fair to say that Randy Orton is currently doing the best work of his career.
Oh, absolutely.
From top to bottom right now.
I was mostly referring to beat a man so bad he's got to go to the hospital.
Sure.
And also on his way to the hospital, one more for good measure. Because amazingly, Tommaso Ciampa didn't whiff with any of those things that he did to Jake Atlas.
Well, think about this, Alex.
I'm just saying.
Think about this. Two whiffed punt kicks, one that lands, and it fractures a guy's skull. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just out of the sheer force of the kick, of the wind gust.
The wind blowing by his temple gave him brain damage. I know, it was terrible.
But thank you, Dizzy C. I think there is a good, compelling argument to be made there because there are similarities between the two. I think it's.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's fair to say.
Yep.
Mia Yim joins us for a match. She's supposed to fight Mercedes Martinez, and Robert Stone comes out with Aaliyah. Robert Stone wearing the greatest glasses in the history of mankind. He's cutting a promo, and as he is, Shotzi rolls up them with her tank and rolls him over again. This is a thing now, Alex.
Yeah, it is. It's a tired thing already. I'm done with it. I can only watch Robert Stone Cell being run over by a tank. Like, I think the maximum I've got in me is like 5 times. I think I've seen that now.
You know what, like, this reminds me of? Because I'm like, okay, they're doing it again. It kind of reminds me of Titus O'Neil when he slid at the Greatest Royal Rumble a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then they tried to recreate that a few times on TV and the t-shirts and everything. You're like, no. The WWE has this capacity to drive something into the ground just out of force of repetition. It's like, hey, remember this? When you thought it was really funny when she ran over his leg? What if she did it again? Hey, what if she did it again?
Yeah.
It's the same type of brain power at work here.
Well, it is. Here's my catchphrase. I'm going to say it all the time. Here's the one thing I do that's funny. I'm going to do it until I run it into the ground. It's WWE. It's Wednesday Night Raw. It's becoming Wednesday Night Raw. And I feel like next week I'm going to see the match that might be the last ever great match on Wednesday NXT. Like, every week I'm worried that that's it. It's going to be the last time, and we'll look back on the last ever great episode of NXT, because it will eventually morph entirely into Wednesday Night Raw.
So the match that was supposed to happen with Mercedes Martinez doesn't happen because Shotzi came out with a tank. So I guess that's your trump card. I guess that's, you're allowed to cancel a match and then take control of a match if you have a tank with you. But I mean, there's some great exchanges between both women, good strikes, maneuvering in and out of pinfalls, and there's some respect on right up until Shotzi does her wolf call and Mia just throat punches her. Mm-hmm. Yim then grinds Shotzi down into the ground and into a bow and arrow. It was a little sloppy, but you get it. Shotzi fights back. Yim hits a dragon suplex. Shotzi sidesteps a missile dropkick, hits a senton, then the top rope senton, and she defeats Mia Yim.
Yep.
Alex, this feels like Mia Yim's send-off from NXT.
Yeah, everybody's playing detective with the 6 people on the apron at the end of Monday Night Raw who are part of Retribution. I'm in agreement with a lot of people on a lot of things. Mia Yim is definitely one of those 6 people. They could be having a lot of, like, you know, placeholders and whatever. She was one of those 6 people. To me, it's undeniable. Her posture, her eyes, like, that's who Mia. So if this is her last match, great, because it was a surprise. And she put over a young and rising superstar who is destined to have championship matches, whether or not she actually becomes NXT Women's Champion. Mia Yim never did, but she had multiple shots at the title. Maybe that's kind of the perfect person to put over Shotzi on her way out is Mia Yim. If she's part of Retribution, they're going to have to do a hell of a lot of explaining as to how Mia Yim is part of this shadowy group. There's a lot of people that, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, whoever they decide to be in it, it's never going to make any sense. Like, we'll just have to be like, yeah, fine. They decided that these 6 people are part of Antifa. Sure, I guess. Like, it's just that we're just going to have to accept it. But yeah, I guess it'll be interesting if they actually have Dijak and Mia Yim, Keith Lee's pseudo best friend and frenemy, and his girlfriend, as part of the terrible evil heels, while he's one of the top babyfaces on the same show. Like, it'll be really interesting to see. Like, they won't bring that up. The whole thing that they've been doing is connecting Dijak to Keith Lee in NXT. But once he moves up to Raw, anything that happened in NXT doesn't exist unless they want it to.
Just like we were saying a little earlier. Exactly.
Yeah,
this was a good match, though, for a throwaway nothing match. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, good showcase for both women.
Absolutely. Crosskick left us a super chat. Says, who does the ankle spot better, Shotzi or Marcus Morris Jr.? Or is this a senior? Is this a basketball reference?
This is a basketball thing. One guy tried to intentionally injure one of the greatest young players of his generation last night by stomping on a guy's ankle. So, yes, I believe Marcus Morris is the all-time king of the try to end your career by stepping on your already injured ankle move.
Oh, there you go. Okay. See, now it's full circle to me because I stopped watching basketball when Charles Barkley retired. So, there you go. Cyclops is better than Wolverine left us a super chat despite the fact that he has a very controversial username. Says Shotzi has star written all over her. I agree. It's hard to disagree with that. Dizzy C left us a super chat as well. Thank you very much. Says Shotzi is as lame as she is good, and that kind of endears her to me. Yeah, there.
Yes.
WWE likes to lean into the corny stuff a little bit, but man, if you have a chance to look up her indie stuff on YouTube, because there's tons of it, she is something special. She's really, really good.
Yep.
Evan Wright left us a super chat as well. Thank you, Evan. Says Retribution needs to borrow Shotzi's tank. They all come down, all six of them on it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like that one thing where D-Generation X invaded Nitro
with a tank.
With a Jeep with a gun mounted on it. It's let's a be tank. Honest. But this it'll be on a Pow Pow Power Wheels tank. Yes, I agree.
Cyclops is better than Wolverine left us another super chat again. Thank you. Says being in Retribution is something I wish on no one. It's gonna be a hard sell.
Yeah, I'm assuming that of the people, everyone's saying the six members are Caden Carter, Mia Yim, Chelsea Green, and then the men are Shane Thorne, Dio Madden, and Dijak. I'm guessing that the leader of the group is a seventh unnamed person who's currently on the roster of a main roster show as an inside man. I don't know who it is. There have been speculation that it's Miz because he was like the last guy to come out of the locker room when they were running off Retribution and stuff like that. I don't know who it is. I mean, it's a horrible angle. It's going to die a terrible death. Retribution is going to have a Survivor Series match against somebody and they're going to lose. Like it'll be like an 8-on-8 Survivor Series match, and they're gonna lose 8-0, and that'll be the end of Retribution. We'll never see him again.
Remember, folks, you can continue leaving us super chats. We'll read them on the air. And if you haven't already, give the video a thumbs up. That kind of stuff helps out a great deal. And if you feel like sharing it out there and say, "Hey, they're halfway done. Why don't you come and watch the rest of what these guys are doing?" If you want to share that out into your social media stuff, that's also great. We get an announcement after a committee decision from William Regal, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Matt Bloom to decide what to do with the NXT title. Let's get into it. Next week on Tuesday, we are getting a four-way 60-minute Iron Man match, Alex Pawlowski, between Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, and Adam Cole. Now, just as your lead in here, I saw a lot of people around me, Twitter, saying, I can't believe they're going with this again. Why aren't they including new people? Why is it? For me, in a void right now, I see 60-minute Iron Man match with arguably four of the most talented workers that WWE has. They're going to wrestle for an hour for our pleasure next week on Tuesday. I am all in on this. I'm not trying to make any stupid jokes here, any stupid puns. This, to me, is exactly how you program an evening where you have to move from your regular slot and you're going to run unopposed.
Yeah.
You use the four top guys in your brand at this point. Let me know your thoughts about this, Alex.
And the best part about it is any one of those four I could see winning it.
Sure.
Because you have an hour and four guys, and they're all heels right now. Mm-hmm. Still, Adam Cole is still a heel, even after he beat heel Pat McAfee. UE still heels. Tommaso Ciampa, definitely heel. Gargano, definitely heel. Balor's a tweener, but he's also got a lot of heelish tendencies. Mm. in the course of an hour with these four competitors, you can tell a full arc of a story of a guy turning babyface.
Sure.
I mean, and like, well, my joke was, I need to go and immediately invent and then use a machine that so I can transport through time to the 57-minute mark next week when Balor gets a pinfall on Gargano to make it 4-all with 3 minutes left in the match. Because you know that's happening. Some version of that. They're all going to be tied going into the last 3 minutes. And the next pinfall wins. And who knows what that's going to bring. It has a potential. I've never heard of a four-way Iron Man match. That's crazy. Because you can't do the thing that everybody does where the heel intentionally gets himself disqualified by hitting the guy with a chair so he can beat him up with a chair more and more and more and more.
Right.
And then he can get another pinfall. You don't can't do that. You can't give up a pinfall because there's two other dudes in there. You know what I mean? Like you can't make that strategy. Well, somebody's gonna try it, of course. But I think there is so much potential here. Somebody said, is this the Mount Rushmore of NXT? I mean, mm-hmm. you could quibble with it, but I don't know who you remove from it. I mean, everybody has personal preferences. I know a lot of people just hate the whole Gargano and Ciampa thing. In retrospect, and especially with the last match they did, which was so overwrought, I understand people being tired of it. But at the time, when Tommaso Ciampa turned on Gargano in their first few matches when Ciampa got back from injury, like, that was the hottest friggin' thing in the world. Like, you have to remember what it was at the time. And, I mean, Cole being champion forever, Finn Balor leading the brand through that transitional period, and then he gets called up and immediately gets tapped as the top guy on Raw, only to lose it via injury. Like, that was a huge... You replace it with what? Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens. There's certain people you could say... Sami Zayn, who have an argument of being there as part of that Mount Rushmore. But you'd have a hell of a time replacing one of those four people. So the argument of, like, why don't they put somebody new in there? Who? Well, Dream? Like, no. who's a new person who hasn't had the title yet, who's in a position to be put in this match even? Like, it doesn't make any sense. These four guys, one of them comes out on top, and you can immediately establish somebody who's not one of the other three guys as his first competitor by having that guy attack the person at the end of the match. Boom. Then now you got something else. Like they're when you get pushed into a corner in this way where they have to do something they didn't prepare for and they just go, I don't know, a four-way Iron Man match. Will that work? Yes, it will. Maybe you guys should panic more often because it provokes real creativity from the creative process.
Well, listen, you know, about the idea of champions, who do you put in there? Lake the Snake Logan left us a super chat and asks and says, no love for Bo Dallas in the four-way for the NXT championship match?
As far as I recall, he didn't get released with everybody else back in April. So he's still floating out there somewhere.
I predict a run-in.
A surprise fifth entry.
What if Finn Balor gets taken out before the match? You know, the security at the PC.
But Bo Dallas has to come back with the one black fingerless glove. Because that was his superpower, man. That's true. Black fingerless glove.
Christopher Bordine, apologies if I'm mispronouncing your last name, Christopher, left us a super chat. Thank you very much. That's Adam Cole Stan here. But Finn should win the NXT title next week as serendipitous redemption for what happened with him and the Universal title. I think he should, if only because he's had great, great matches in great but inconsequential matches for the past 8 months. I think he should too. That'd be my prediction.
This match is not to be missed. Not to be missed. These four guys are going to leave every last bit of their soul on that mat. I cannot wait for it.
Pardon me. Crosskick left us a couple of super chats. It was, again, thank you, Crosskick. First of all, says, between one and the Bucks tonight, how proud of you for a four-way match with no babyface in it? Well,
Well, there's no way I could be more proud of anything than I am of the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. But I am very excited for a match with no clear, true white meat babyface where they're going to rely on that guy fighting from underneath the entire time. I'm so excited they don't have that trope to bash into the ground. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch what they do with it.
Crosskick's other super chat, again, thank you, is, goes like this. Says, the only acceptable members of Retribution are Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff. Somehow, that would get me into it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Santos Escobar successfully defended the Cruiserweight title against Isaiah Swerve Scott. This was a fun match, especially, I think they had a really good final third here. I feel like we're a long way from the Cruiserweight matches that we used to get on 205 Live when the four pillars were there. Match comes to an end when Escobar puts on a luchador mask outside of the ring, slips it on, headbutts Scott, and instantly knocks him out. Mm-hmm. Gets the pin. I've seen a lot of loaded things in wrestling. Yep. I don't remember a loaded lucha mask, because Alex, I don't understand how it works. I don't understand how it would knock, how it doesn't knock him out in the same way at the same time, unless there's like 6 inches, 12 inches like, of padding. I don't know.
Maybe it's padded on the inside, but like it's just the metal on the outside. Like I could see that being the reasoning they would give. Still wouldn't make any sense. I'd be fine with it. Did I miss it? Did he wear it to the ring and then take it off before the match?
No.
Because if that was it, I'd be down with it. Like, that's my whole deal. I think that they should all walk to the ring wearing lucha masks and the suits, take off the suit, take off the everything, like, take forever to disrobe down to your trunks, then lovingly take the luchador mask off and set it on the post, because they're all about that legacy, that history of being luchadors, but they don't rely on it. It's not a crutch for them in the match. I think that's a great way of doing it. And if he wore a loaded lucha mask to the ring, but then took it off before the match and then put it back on before he did it, that would make sense. Like, fishing one out from under the ring doesn't, it's, that was lazy. I liked the match a lot. I think that Swerve could be your next champion. It's far too early for Escobar to lose it. My ultimate fantasy booking is, please, for love of God, get Mustafa Ali off of NXT, off of main event, and bring him to NXT where he could be the true babyface cruiserweight that they need in that division. And he's never been cruiserweight champ before. Him being the guy to take it off of Santos Escobar would be an amazing thing. And the people who watch NXT are the people who love Mustafa Ali, who watched him on 205 Live and love that guy and would want him to succeed. It's an easy no-brainer of a decision. You're not using him up on the main roster. The NXT like needs babyface cruiserweights. It's a perfect thing to do, and they won't do it.
That's exactly what Zach Connor suggested via super chat. Thank you, Zach. Says, I want Ali versus Escobar for the title. Ali needs NXT. Well, you echo the sentiments of Alex Pawlowski, and I am in full agreement as well. Dizzy C left us another super chat as well. Thank you very much. He says, loaded lucha masks are as common to lucha, especially in AAA, where Escobar is from, as what chants are to American crowds. Well, I just learned something. Thank you very much for that. I did not know it was I just never actually seen it. So that's cool. Still don't understand how they don't knock the guy out. But hey, that's just me. Kyle O'Reilly defeated Drake Maverick. How's that push? How's that new contract dealing going for you, Drake? How's that? How's all that crying and sentimentality? How's that working out for you? Anyway, I was still happy to see Kyle O'Reilly nonetheless in a singles match. We don't see enough of Kyle O'Reilly in singles competition. And he is as good as he ever was. The match ends when it was fast paced. Don't get me wrong. It was a fun match. Again, Drake Maverick's story is that he's fighting from underneath. That'll probably be his thing forever, as long as he's in WWE anyway. Kyle O'Reilly rolls Maverick up into an Achilles lock. cinches it in proper to get Drake to tap out. After the match, the Undisputed Era attack him until Killian Dane comes in for the save. And Drake Maverick stands up to thank him, but Dane knocks him down.
Yeah. Because Killian Dane's like, no, these twerps attacked me too. I had to get revenge on them, but I don't like you, Drake. And I'm all for that kind of a thing with Killian Dane. I'm also all for Drake, the new thing, because they're really not doing anything with him either way. And I know Drake is a talented enough comedian to make this work. Do you remember those old Looney Tunes cartoons with the giant bulldog and the little yap dog that followed him around?
Yes.
Hey, Spike, what are we doing today, Spike? I want Drake Maverick to not rest until Killian Dane is his best friend. I think that would be so cool to like just run around and like dip in his heel. Yeah, you get him, Killian. Come on, you get him, buddy. I think that would be so great. And it would actually be funny because Drake Maverick, Spud, has the comedic chops to pull it off.
Sure.
And all Killian Dane has to do is stand there and look mean and exasperated by Drake Maverick doing this. And I think it'll work.
And wear a tiny bowler hat. That's all he needs to do. The line drive left us a super chat. Thank you very much. It says, Sundir Killian Dane after saving Drake Maverick. It's not like I like you or anything, Baka. Squashes Drake to fight the inevitable tag team formation.
Oh, yes. No, we can't have that. We can't have the odd couple tag team. I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating Drake Maverick trying to be Killian Dane's best friend.
Dizzy C left us a super chat. Thank you very much. Felt like they were teasing a Kyle O'Reilly face turn with him trying to stop the Undisputed Era from beating down Drake. People have been pointing out, you know, separating, splitting apart the Undisputed Era, but I don't think you can, Alex.
I mean, the only way I see it happening is if they do a long, slow burn. Not a baby face turn, but a fan favorite, like just wrestles matches like a fan favorite type thing for Adam Cole, and he's the one who spurs the thing where they all maybe like go their separate ways. Maybe like Fish and O'Reilly are one thing, and Roderick Strong's another. Like we've grown so much together that we're kind of growing apart, and it's fine, and they can all come back. Maybe they don't hate each other, but maybe it's not like they're not a unit anymore and they can each go and do their own thing. And maybe they'll have matches against each other. But I think there's a way of these guys are talented enough and good enough performers that they could really pull off a whole like, you know, how your best friends, like the four of you guys in college, like lived in a house together for like 3 years in college and you were best buds, but you grow apart. And it's weird to like, hey, everybody, hey, I'm in town. You want to get together and have a beer? Yeah, I'd love to. But, you know, I can't go out late at night. So maybe you could come over and watch the game on Sunday. No, I'm going to be out of town by Sunday. Maybe next time you're in town. Okay. Like it'd be kind of a cool thing to like watch these guys like grow apart as regular dudes because they're all basically regular dudes anyway. I think it'd be an interesting way of doing that if you're going to do it. Although I don't want, like, Kyle O'Reilly is a babyface now, so Bobby Fish turns on him. Like, I don't need that.
Krosik left us a super chat. Thank you very much. Says, all Drake needs to make Killian Dane his friend is a wrestling trivia quiz show so that Killian can mistake him for Adam Blompier. Sure. Backstage, we have Rhea Ripley before her match who explains to us why she's tag teaming with Io Shirai. And she says it's because she wants to send the message to Dakota and Raquel that Io is hers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that makes sense in Road Dogg's head. Absolutely 100%.
Yeah.
But as for the match, we did have Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Which was a very good, very solid standard tag team. Raquel and Dakota worked over Rhea, who was Ricky Morton, basically, for a good part of the match here. Io gets a hot tag in where she meteoras Gonzalez and 619 Dakota right in the face. Raquel tries to work Io down with a power slam. There's some shenanigans that happen. Mercedes Martinez arrives to drag Rhea off the apron which takes her out for a bit of the match. Meanwhile, Raquel tries to put Io away with a spinning slam, doesn't work out. Rhea finally gets the tag in, but Gonzalez slams Rhea down for the win, mind you. So again, few moving parts here. You have Raquel Gonzalez getting a big pinfall win here for her team. Mercedes Martinez and Rhea Ripley are clearly still in the unfinished business category here. We were kind of wondering why they were pivoting towards Raquel. Well, I think the paths are becoming a little clearer here, Alex.
Yeah, they're really good right now about weaving in multiple women's storylines.
Yes, they are.
The Shotzi rise is interesting. Tegan and Candice obviously have something brewing. Dakota Kai is not going anywhere. Io Shirai is the champion. Raquel wants Io, but she'll go through Rhea gladly if she has to in order to get it. And Rhea has Mercedes Martinez, and after she's done with Mercedes, you know she's going to want revenge on Raquel. And after all of that's done, she thinks she has claimed Io. Like, it's all intersecting. I love it. Compare and contrast that with anything on the main roster and also AEW. NXT still stays, even though they lose women to the main roster all the time and they're about to use Mia Yim, possibly, they still find ways to intersect all these great and talented women. Rhea Ripley still seems to be booked in a weird way, and I love her. Like, I can't say enough about how she says, okay, well, not all of wrestling is getting to do all my cool moves and win. Sometimes wrestling is losing. It's just the way it works. So lose good. Mm-hmm. When she gets pulled off the apron, so she lands with her head on the steps, she's going to sell that attack. She's pissed at Mercedes, but she's got a damn match to win because she hates Raquel and she hates Dakota because she wants Io for herself. So I'm going to deal with you later, Mercedes. I'm going to get back on the apron. So she gets back on the apron and she tags in because that's what she's supposed to do, damn it. Io has been hurt, so she needs to tag in. But she's so damaged by hitting her head on the steps, she strips getting through the ropes, which is it's perfectly done. It's obviously intentional, but it didn't look intentional. By the time she gets her bearings and stands up, she gets a big boot in the face, sells that beautifully, and then sells that amazing, like, chest slam thing that Raquel does, sells that beautifully, makes Raquel look like $1 trillion. Mm-hmm. Makes her future opponent, Mercedes, look like she actually really affected her by that sneak attack. Ooh, now we really want to see Rhea get revenge on Mercedes. Also, makes Raquel look like a friggin' Hulk, who now we're even more interested in seeing Rhea finally get a match against. Like, that's all stuff that Rhea just knows to do at 23 goddamn years old. She has so much more to grow, and she's already one of the best wrestlers, male or female, in the world. I cannot wait to see what she does with the rest of her career. It's ridiculous that they booked her the way they did at Mania. But to her credit, she has said, screw that, I'm getting in the gym, I'm getting the best damn shape of my life. She looks amazing. The black eyeshadow and the
blonde hair.
Completely bleached blonde hair. She's like, she's completely reinvented herself by tweaking like two things. And she's so great at all the facial expressions and everything. Like that moment where she walked in and got face-to-face with Raquel at the end of the TakeOver match. Like, I was like, oh, damn, she is selling me a ticket to this match right now without doing anything. I can't wait to see where they eventually get her to, because I know they realize how special she is. Mm-hmm. They made a stupid misstep with the Charlotte thing, and they're slow building her back up to the top. When she gets there, I have to believe they will give her the run that she deserved when she had it truncated by Charlotte, that stupid Charlotte thing. Well, so looking forward to it when they finally do it.
They had a plan, Alex, of course. You remember that.
No, I know. It was a plan.
It's all part of the plan. Dizzy C left us a super chat. Left us a couple of them. Thank you very much. First of all, says, looks like Rhea's not getting a title shot until she manages to fight her way out of Haas country.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That's a great way of keeping her out of the title picture, because you won't want her to be in that match with Io, because you need her to win the title back. And you don't want to have her win it off of Io. You've got to actually get her sidelined while still keeping her heavily involved in storylines. It's really good.
Dizzy C's other super chat says Rhea is really great Haas, excuse me, at selling, and she is, absolutely is. Just like Alex said, she understands so much about it. Cyclops is better than Wolverine. Left us a super chat as well. Thank you very much. Says Raquel is so scary, and for sure a future champ. Yeah. Imagine if they had kept her in her.
Stop it with the chaps and the bull rope. Nope. Stop it with the chaps. Stop
Imagine
it.
How scary she'd be.
She'd be a joke.
Speaking of jokes, I want to wish our buddy Louis Dangour a happy birthday. I don't know why I segued with speaking of jokes, but happy birthday, Louis. He's celebrating today right now. My goodness, I remember when I turned 17 as well. Louis will be back tomorrow evening with Sean. They'll be doing the post AW Dynamite review tomorrow evening right here. So be sure to tune in. Sean, Louis, a year older and all the more magnificent. Alex Pawlowski, where can people find you on social media and the like?
You can find me at Alex Sour Graps on the Twitter, and I do two shows weekly on Fightful Select. It's $5 a month, but you get all amazing stuff there that's not even me. But even if you're only there for me, it's like 82 cents an episode, and every episode's like an hour and a half long. Like, it's really, really good bang for your buck.
There you go. So that's one of the best sells you've done ever, I think. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Warren Hayes or on my own YouTube channel at youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Thank you everyone for joining us live this evening or listening or watching on your own accord.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'll be back next week. Alex will be too. We'll see you then.